Miss Appleton kept him in from recess one day to ask,
"Where are you going to the bathroom?"
"I'm not going to the bathroom," said Claude. "I'm going to the library."
She took a deep breath.
"When you go to the bathroom, where do you go to the bathroom?"
"Where I always go to the bathroom."
"In the boys' bathroom?"
Claude nodded. He knew he'd done something wrong, he just didn't know what it was.
"Why are you using the boys' bathroom?"
"Because I'm a boy."
She took another deep breath.
"Then why are you wearing a dress?"
Claude was confused. They'd been through this.
"I like to wear a dress."
"Little boys do not wear dresses."
Miss Appleton tried to channel her usual patience.
"Little girls wear dresses. If you are a little boy, you can't wear a dress. If you are a little girl, you have to use the nurse's bathroom."
"But little girls use the girls' bathroom," said Claude.
"But you are not a little girl,"
Miss Appleton said through her teeth. At the end of the day, Victoria Revels called. "We are happy to treat your child like a girl if that is what he believes himself to be," she began. "Not happy," Penn corrected. "Legally obligated." "Both," said Miss Revels, "but it cannot be just on a whim."
"Meaning?"
"Meaning, if he thinks he is a girl, he has gender dysphoria, and we will accommodate that. If he just wants to wear a dress, he is being disruptive and must wear normal clothes."
"I'm not sure either Claude or I or even you understand the distinctions you're making up as you go along here," said Penn.
"It's confusing," the district representative acknowledged, "for Miss Appleton and for the children, and clearly also for Claude. No one knows how to treat this child. Do we say he or she? Does Claude line up with the boys or the girls? Why is his hair still short? Why hasn't he changed his name?"
"Aren't there girls in class with short hair?" said Penn. "Aren't there girls in the class who wear pants?"
"The point," said Miss Revels, "is that we can treat your child as a boy, or we can treat your child as a girl, but we cannot treat him as, well, I don't even know what else there is."
"That might be the problem."
Penn had been online. He'd read and researched. He was starting to be an expert here.
"He might be both. He might be neither. He might be a boy in a dress or a girl with a penis. He might be one for a while and then another. He might be genderqueer."
"Not in kindergarten, he is not," she interrupted. "He cannot be all of the above in kindergarten, and he cannot be none of the above in kindergarten. In kindergarten, a child can only be a he or a she, a boy or a girl. Kindergartens are not set up for ambiguity."
"Maybe they should be," said Penn. "The world is an ambiguous place."
"Not for a five-year-old. For a five-year-old, the world is very black and white. It's fair or it's unfair. It's fun or it's torture. There are not disgusting cookies. There are not delicious vegetables."
"But there are," said Penn, "even for five-year-olds. Claude hates cookies with coconut. He loves broccoli. He does have a penis, and he does need to wear a dress.
It would be simpler, perhaps, if those things weren't true, but they are. For all your kids. Surely some of the little girls in his class play soccer after school, and surely some of the boys play hopscotch. This is a good thing, not a bad thing." "It may be a good thing," said Miss Revels, "but good or bad, we can't accommodate it. He needs to decide one way or the other. He needs to, pardon me, but he needs to move his bowels or get off the pot."
"In the nurse's office," added Penn.
"In the nurse's office," said Victoria Revels.